Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and in the sowing some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth burnt grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the dominion of heaven and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. You may know last night we had a center celebration and a number of the children came. So there aren't quite as many children here today, but those who are here I would invite to come forward and help proclaim the good news of the gospel today. Thank you all. Thanks very much. Growth is more than I thought. So here's my first question. I know you can answer this. Who has ears? Raise your hand. Okay. This is a good thing, because Jesus says today, if you have ears, listen. This is... All of us have ears. This is good. Do we all listen? Some of us listen. That's kind of what the lesson was about. Some of us listen, maybe some of us don't. You remember a couple of months ago, we had a center celebration. We were out in the park, and we had seeds. I forget, Ella, were you there at that one? And was it Kristen or someone asked us to poke our finger into the good soil there, and we just put in a seed, right? Or maybe a couple. Do you remember doing that? Yes. Yeah. You planted some of the flowers. And how many flowers do you think we have here? I was thinking of the blooms, and some of them are just starting to come out, but it's like from that one seed, there may be 30 blooms there. So as Jesus says, from a seed comes this bountiful gift of flowers or grain, 30-fold, 100-fold. 60-fold. And Jesus says, if you have ears, listen, because your lives and the word that comes to you, it is like the seed that goes into the ground. Where does Jesus' word go? Into your ears, that's right, and so that you might listen. And when you listen, what Jesus promises is that your life will grow in love, in care, in relationship to him, and relationship to one another by how much? 30, 60, or 100 times. It's kind of like a congregation gathering. There's 30 or 60 or 100 people even growing in the name of Christ. So this is Jesus' parable today. It's like the good growth of crops and flowers. The word comes into our hearts and we grow in Christ Jesus. And then what do we do with all these good things we have? Yeah. We share them out and things grow even more. Our community builds even more. The love of Christ builds even more. Who has ears? Listen to what Jesus says and gives us in his care, in his love, in his forgiveness, and in his sending. And we give thanks for you today because now you are seeds and sent to help the world grow. Come, let's say a prayer. Oh God, we give you thanks that the word, your seed, comes into our ears and our hearts. We give you thanks for these children whose growth is before us and we see it every day. We pray for their well-being and their growth in your name. And pray that they would be your seeds in the world to bring life and light to all of those who are in need. All say amen. 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 Thank you all for coming. So it's a good question. Do you have ears? In our lesson today, Jesus is very much the teacher. He assumes the traditional position of teaching. He sits down. Don't you wish that's the way it was these days? You sit down and the students stand up. All of his listeners were on the shore, standing at attention. And it had to be a great crowd because there were so many of them that Jesus needed a little bit of distance, so he didn't just sit down anywhere. He got in a boat and went out on the water in the lake, and all those who had gathered, these great crowds, stood around on the shore to listen. Now, we've all been on lakes, and I'm trying to think. I think sometimes our voices can carry across bodies of water, at least smaller ones. But I'm really impressed about Jesus out there in a boat in the lake making himself heard. And I'm wondering, so Ed, did you ever take any of your students out to Lake Michigan, sit in a boat? How about you other teachers? Yeah, I haven't tried that either. But maybe it was enough for them just to be in Jesus' presence and to be present together. For the word to gather them together, for so many to gather together. And I wonder, how would they have known to come? They would have had to travel a pretty good ways, from small places, little villages, from their little plots of land, their fields, which are all scattered about. For these, again, weren't professional students, like I've been a lot of times, traveling around following teachers. But these folks were coming from their farms, their soil, their dust. They were peasants who lived in the very way that Jesus was going to use as an illustration in his lesson. They weren't rich landowners coming out. In fact, many probably would have been tenants to rich landowners, having themselves perhaps lost their property. They and their families, and we assume probably this crowd was mostly men, their families being back in the village.
They were scratching out livings in the sort of terrain that Jesus describes. A lot of it was rocky. A lot of it was thorny. And day to day they were living so that, as I've learned and often mentioned, that when we say the prayer, "Give us today our daily bread," that was the most for which people could hope for in those times. So that Jesus, this teacher, who now brings a word of a new kingdom, a new realm, a new order, the word of the dominion of heaven that promises extravagant yields from the soil, extravagant yields from their heart and from their soul, extravagant yields for their heart, for their community. This Jesus brings a hope that had been unimaginable in their life situation. And all the while, the unspoken backdrop of all this, of all these folks who are dirt poor in body and spirit, who are the dust of their society, who have no power and have experienced abuse at the hands of the powerful in the Judean world, behind all of this hopelessness is the power of the empire, the Roman rule, who have added yet another layer of control and oppression to their lives. Now, in this context, here is this little guy, this one person from some small town up in Galilee, out there on the water in a little boat, telling them that when they hear the word of the dominion of God, their world will be extravagantly overcome with abundant blessings of life, no longer a day at a time in brutal poverty, and then you die, but a yield of 30 times, of 60, of 100, a symbol of a future, a life into the future. The future, the hope, breaking into their lives, which had been lost and hopeless. And here's the thing. It's not simply the teaching. Maybe, I wonder if it's not mostly the teaching. But this hope is present and active in their lives, in the very presence of this person out in this boat right now, who brings the word of a world, a realm, a community in which the seed of life, the word of life, is extravagantly cast everywhere, upon all, without prejudice, without fear. Can this be anything else but the inbreaking of the divine realm of the Creator God, a new and holy order to the world in which all grow extravagantly in deep relationship to the promise of life in Christ Jesus? And can this person, this little character out there on the water, in the boat, from some little burg in Galilee, whose whole life is animated and consistent with his teaching, be anyone else but the person sent by the one whose name we don't know and dare not speak, the giver and source of life itself? Can this be anything but the word of life made flesh and dwelling among us? And do those who hear not experience the extravagance of life for themselves in that gathering, in that service, in this gathering, in our service? And in that extravagance, it is rooted not simply in the recognition and worship of Jesus, but in the presence, in the relationship of Jesus, who is the word of life, and in their connection with the Creator of all. And is it not clear that this promise, this gift of life, is not narrowly proscribed, but is cast out to all who are gathered on that shore and to all who are gathered on the many shores to come? That the extravagance of God in this simple word made flesh is like the simple word, the simple bang of the universe, which explodes beyond belief and is only truly experienced in our connection to one another, to all things created, to the one who simply says, "Listen to me, trust me, I am with you."
Jesus' extravagant vision does not come with a call for regime change. His realm is not about the power of this world. Yet, when the extravagance of his relationship with us is shared, as the children encouraged us to do, the social order is turned upside down. Those who are in power, by virtue of their repression of life, will feel ultimately threatened. This parable, more explicitly, Jesus' presence and extravagant affirmation of all, especially the lost and hopeless, will lead to the cross. But God's extravagant promise of life is not, cannot, will not be overcome. The seed which dies in the ground brings forth new life, resurrection life. The gift of forgiveness, the promise of life, dwells with, in, and for us all right now. All those who have ears, listen. Amen.